Take your Bibles tonight, please. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. As you're turning there, one of the things we enjoy at Christmas is to drive around and look at all the beautiful lights on the houses and the buildings. Amen? Something about the lights. I was reading USA Today, one of my hobbies. Try to keep up with what's going on. Read an article that America spends $4 billion a year on decorating their houses and buying the lights and doing all that. Brother Frank's back here. He's got $2 billion of that. That's what he did this winter. Yeah, just kidding. Probably not quite that much. But tonight, and I'm aware of the time, we need to center in on the greatest light. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, but you follow with me, please. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The Bible says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen what? Not just a light, a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." If there's any question about who that light is, go down to verses 6 and 7 of the same chapter. More names and titles and attributes of our Lord. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Some 700 years before the birth of Christ, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Isaiah, prophesies the coming of the great light. There's one truth that leaps out of us. Out from the pages of Scripture at Christmas time, is that Jesus came to be the light in this dark world. And I'm speaking specifically, folks, of spiritual darkness. We'll make some comparisons with the physical light as we know it, but we're speaking of spiritual darkness. You see, the first Adam turned the light off, but praise God, the second Adam turned the light on. Amen? To do that. Praise the Lord, darkness was no match for the light of God's Messiah. Romans 5:20, "But when sin abounded, the Bible says grace did much more abound." 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you," that's that light in us from Christ, "than he that is in the world." Turn please to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We know Luke, one of the Gospels that gives the Christmas story as we know it. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67, we have the words of Zechariah. He is John the Baptist's father. By the way, God works through people that serve him. You go back in the first chapter, you'll see that he and his wife were holy people, godly people, and God used them. But Zechariah understands about the light. He anticipates the coming of the Savior in this song of praise. Notice what he says in the prophecy here. Verse 67, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring. Let me stop there. Lots of names given the Lord here, Horn of our Salvation. There's a beautiful title given him here, Day Spring. That literally means, ladies and gentlemen, sunrise. Now, we couldn't see it this morning. Praise the Lord for the rain. I've learned, being a Yankee in Texas, you get rain any time you can get it down here. Amen, Southerners? To do it. But I'm telling you, when the dawn appears, and you look towards the east, and you see the sun. Yes. By the way, Malachi calls him the Son of Righteousness, who comes with healing in his wings. He's called the Day Spring. That's light from on high. That's where it came from. That's where he came from. Has visited us. Notice verse 79. He quotes basically Isaiah, the first verse we read, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Brother Tony, that's why we take the funds and you go across the sea, to take light to men that have had the light of the glorious gospel, but to give them, the old Puritan used to get on his knees and pray for more light, that they might teach others the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. John Wesley, in one of his hymns, wrote this: Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of Righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, Day Spring from on high, be near, Day Star in my heart, appear. Wesley had it down, didn't he? Now, turn not too far to Luke chapter 2. Told you we're going to look at a lot of scripture here. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, please. Luke 2 and verse 25. The theme, the light, the great light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon, we find him being led by the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 25. Read with me. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. What I tell you a moment ago, he works through godly people. Here we see a man just. By the way, when God gives a character reference on somebody, you can take it to the bank. Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Can you see that picture? Taking that little baby, the Christ child, up in his arms, holding him up. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, note it please, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now Zechariah told more about the Jews, but aren't you glad as a Gentile? To lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Do you remember when you first saw the light? By the way, somebody had to open that light up to you, didn't they? Praise God for them at Christmas time. The thought is simply this: no matter where you turn in God's word, you will find that Christmas is about the great light, our Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, I want to talk to you about the purity of the light. Would you turn to John chapter 1? You probably knew we were going there. We're just going in order, so hopefully you'll find them pretty easy. John chapter 1, marvelous portion of scripture. But it talks about the light, and particularly the purity of this light. Verse 1, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you get that? By the way, I just simple enough to believe the Scripture and take it at face value. I don't need no doctor's degree to understand this. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Take that, evolutionists. In him, notice, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I believe Christ died for all men. That he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. All men. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, praise the Lord, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, and I like verse 14. Here's Christmas, folks. Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to note in verse 10 that Jesus was in the world, but he was not of this world. By the way, Christian, there's a thought for us today. We have to be in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. Because he was not of this world, we can simply say he is the pure, incorruptible light. Now, in the natural world, think about it. Nothing is as pure as light. Well, you say, what about that crystal water? Crystal clear water. You can put some dirt in that and kind of muddy that up, you know. But light, natural light, cannot be corrupted or defiled. It can shine through a dirty window or a muddy glass of water where it exposes the dirt but is not touched by it. The light cannot be defiled. And what a beautiful picture of the great light, Jesus Christ. He came, born of a virgin. That's so important. You tell me you don't believe in the virgin birth, I'll tell you, you can't be saved. Because the seed was of the Holy Spirit. It couldn't be the seed of man, which was defiled. Does that not make sense to you? He was exposed to sin, but he was never contaminated by sin. He touched sinners, but sin never touched him. Jesus, the light of the world, is a reminder of the sinless, stainless purity of the Son of God. Madeline was kind enough to ask me today if there was any particular song I wanted, and I appreciate her doing that. I said, no, I'll sing it myself. I didn't really tell her that. She would have got one there. But you know, so often we read the words, or we say the words, and we don't really understand or don't think about the words. And I'm not going to sing it. Relax. My wife's getting ready to get up and leave, but don't do that, honey. I won't do it. But the beautiful song, Silent Night, Holy Night. You remember the third stanza? Listen to it. The songwriter understood the purity of the light. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God. And then listen to those next three words. Love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Thank God it's a great light. Thank God it's a pure light. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's deity. By the way, you want to mess up the cults, just ask them who Christ is. And if they won't admit to you that Christ is God, the deity of Christ, they're gone. That's where they fall off the back. That's where you go. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen, Jesus is eternal. He's Alpha and Omega. The light has been constant since Christ, well, actually before the foundation of the world. One of the greatest attributes of Christ is his immutability. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. I change not. Can I say that to you, being saved for over 40 years? I've changed, and I don't always do, but I'm going to tell you, my Savior, the great light's never changed. It says he changes not. Changes not. Hebrews 13:8, listen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can claim that. The constant light. Listen, it doesn't flicker. It doesn't go out for this race or that race or this person or that person. It's the constant great light. And then I want you to take your Bible. Hold your place in John. I want you to go. Here's a marvelous verse. They're all marvelous because of God's word. But talking about the constancy of the light of Christ. In James, please. James chapter 1. It's a great Christmas verse, too. I want you to look at it. James chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 17. James 1, verse 17. The Bible says, every good gift, that's after Hebrews, folks, every good gift and every perfect gift. Aren't you out there trying to do that? Somebody asked me if I got my Christmas shopping done. I said, is it the 24th yet? Typical man, amen? About 6 o'clock, I'll run out there to Winn-Dixie's or somewhere and see if I can find Peggy something. No, seriously, when you buy a gift, don't you want it to be a good gift? Don't you want that person you're giving it to enjoy that and appreciate it? Don't you want it to be a perfect gift? And I know how you women shop. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I know something I want. I go in the store, point A to point B. Peggy has to look at everything in this world. Do I have an amen, men? Thank you. I thought somebody would be brave enough to say that. But if we're serious, we want it to be a good gift and we want it to be a perfect gift. Can I tell you we've already got that? And notice it's from above. Now notice, I love this, and cometh down from the what? Father of lights. Now, talking about the constancy, I'm talking about no change. We're not done with the verse. Look at it. With whom is no what? Variableness. No change, neither shadow of turning. Thank God the great light, Jesus Christ, is constant. And can I say to you tonight, if you're unsaved, his arms are stretched out still. I don't know all of you here. What better time to receive Christ, to receive that great light than at Christmas time? I pray that you would do so before you leave here tonight if you're not saved. And quickly, please, the vitality of life. Back to John chapter 1. Look closely, please, at verse 4. We'll read it again. Notice what the scripture says. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. 1 John 5:11 says this, and this is the record. I'm glad we get a record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Listen, in the natural world, as so in the spiritual world, light and life are interwoven. No life without light. Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, came to give us life. When the Holy Spirit sheds the light of the gospel into our hearts, a divine photosynthesis took place, producing life where there was death. Now, I'm not much of a science student, but I did learn a big word once upon a time called photosynthesis. Photo means light, and synthesis, I'll get it out in a minute, means bringing together. Do you understand without the real sunlight, we could not exist? The plants could not produce. The animals could not do whatever and provide for us. Without sun, we would die. And can I tell you, without the Son of Righteousness, we would perish in our sins. But thank God for the great light. Listen, Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You know how I was saved? I was saved hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many people were praying for me, but I was given the word. I was taken to hear good preaching. And when I heard the word of God, I didn't hear it as man's word, as it says in Thessalonians, but as the word of God. And when I heard God's word, I saw the light. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, praise the Lord for this, the victory of the light. Look at verse 5, John chapter 5, chapter 1, please. Notice this, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean, comprehended? Didn't understand, couldn't get rid of it, couldn't extinguish it. You walk in a dark room, how do you get rid of the darkness? You get a vacuum cleaner and suck it up? Last time I tried that, it didn't work. You sweep it out. How do you get rid of darkness? You turn on the light and the darkness flees. The darkness could not comprehend it. I'm happy to tell you that Jesus Christ, the great light, has victory over darkness. And think about it, since day one there's been a battle between light and darkness. The only way to conquer it is to turn on the light. Darkness flees. There's no power.